First of all, a big thank you to Rav Hodychinsky for sponsoring this year. Le'ilui Nishmas, Hodi's sister, who today the Yortzeit is Bo Bayom. So this year is dedicated to Le'ilui Nishmat Eta Malka Bas Mordechai Avram Zichron Lebracha. Just one word, I asked Rav Hodi to tell me something about her sister, and she said she loved life. And Rabbi Nassen said about Rabbi Nachman that when he kind of gave whatever eulogy for him, he said he's an ish chai be'emes. He's a person who lives be'emes. And Hoodie's sister was living be'emes and loved life, loved every moment of life and cherished, and everything was a gift. So b'schus this year and learning about the ish chai be'emes, Hoodie's sister, Etta Malka, Mordechai Avram, should have a aliyas neshama. And B, spend a little time with Rabbi Nachman up there. Okay. Thank you, everybody, for joining once again. It's really good to be with you. This is the third of four series. This is probably the meat of the series. We're going to go through the timeline of Rabbi Nachman's life. We're going to go through the timeline. I'm going to share the screen. We're going to see the timeline. We're going to go klal uprat. Klal is to see the big picture about his life and the prat. So I'm going to share the screen right now. Jeff, I see you in my parents' house now. Nice picture. Okay, here we go. I'm going to share this timeline. A big thank you to my son, Ilan, for helping me. Hold on one second. Okay, we mentioned in the first year that Rabbi Nachman is a historical person. He lived literally with the times. Everything around him was affecting him. He was affecting everything around him. And therefore, when you learn the Torahs of Rabbi Nachman, you're learning his experiences. He's experiencing the world in a certain way, and he's bringing it to the Torah. We talked about that the first time, that everything was affecting him. Napoleon, the revolutions, everything. I just wanted to read it in Likutei Maharan itself. I found the source in Nun Dalet. That all of the Torah of Rabbi Nachman was being drawn from what was going around him. Therefore, to learn Rabbi Nachman's Torah, specifically Likutei Maharan, but everything else for that matter also, especially Sipur Maisis also, if you don't understand the historical backdrop, BRI, Rav Kramer, Rafur Shlema does a beautiful job of, before every piece, giving where Rabbi Nachman, where and what was going on in Rabbi Nachman's life that he wrote this piece. It's extremely important to know that, because the Torah is coming from, not from the thought from above, but an experience from below, and he's bringing it above. Therefore, it's very important to understand what year was it written, what was going on in Rabbi Nachman's life, because all of these stories are coming from an experience that he's experiencing. I'm just going to read this inside in Likutei Maharan Nun Dalet. B'chol yom sheyesh bo machshava dibor maisa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzamtzem elokuso me'ein sof ad ein tachlis, ad nekudas hamerka sh'olam agashi sh'omer alav. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu communicates in our lives. He doesn't talk. He doesn't have a voice. This is God. You know, it doesn't work like that, obviously. He talks through everyday experiences of our lives, through the Olam Hagashmi Sh'omid Olam, that which we're going through in the Olam Hagashmi. Umazlo l'chol Adam Machshava Dibur Maisa. He brings up a Machshava Dibur Maisa l'fi Hayom, l'fi Adam, l'fi Amakom, according to the time, according to the day, according to the person, according to the place. Umalbish lo bazus Machshava Dibur Maisa. And he's constantly hinting to us to come back and come closer to him. Whatever is going on in our day, it doesn't have to be epic things. It could also be subtle things that's calling us back to Hashem. We have to think about everything that's going on in our lives and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is calling us and communicating with us. What is he trying to be miramis to me? Shemlubash bezosa machshav dibor maisa shozeh ayom. She's in the Hashem Yisbarach. Hein malacha, hein mabasachat. Whether it's in your malacha, whether it's in your work. V'chol mashem mazim l'Hashem Yisbarach v'chol yom. Tzorich lahamik u'lahagdil machshavato b'zeh. And anything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you in that day, you have to mamik, deepen your machshava of what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling me, kedei lahavid mi mizasto shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to understand the remez that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us in our lives. And Kol Shekein, the Tzadik HaEmes, Rabbi Nachman, he's constantly living with the Ramazim of Hashem. And therefore, you have to know the history of, this is not just, any person who writing Divrei Torah. You have Divrei Torah and you have the history where he was, where everything about Rabbi Nachman's writings and teachings, as Rav Gerzi said, it's a spiritual journey of himself. And you have to understand, where was he at the journey at that time? So to understand this historical backdrop of Rabbi Nachman is crucial. That is the introduction. So now let's go to Rabbi Nachman's life. We're going to go Klal and Prat. We're going to start 1772. That is the year that Rabbi Nachman is born. Again, that's up to debate, but we're going to assume it's 1772. He is born in the town of Medjibaj, the town of his great-grandfather, the Baal Shem Tov, in the house of the Baal Shem Tov. His father is Simcha, his mother is Fega. We learned about this last time, how they're related. And he's very close to the Baal Shem Tov's kever. As a six-year-old boy, he would fall asleep and then find him sleeping on top of the Baal Shem Tov's kever. He was close with all the Gedolim and the Tzadikim, the Chasidim that were going through Medjibaj, specifically Degel Machane Ephraim, whose yahrzeit is tonight. The Rabbi Nachman Sadiklof is his uncle, Rabbi Baruch Medjibaj's brother. Rabbi Baruch Medjibaj is also his uncle. The Degel Machane Ephraim was at Rabbi Nachman's bar mitzvah. And already at the bar mitzvah, Rabbi Nachman started writing a sefer called Sefer Amidos, Sefer Aleph Bet, which we'll get to later. But that's in Medjibaj. There's a lot to talk to. There's a lot to talk about Medjibaj. He was always listening to the stories of the tzaddikim. He was living in the hotbed of all Hasidus of that time, which was Medjibaj. And he was constantly listening to the tzaddikim, meeting tzaddikim. People say when he was 5 years old, he met Rabbi Nachman at the Vitebsk. And that was Medjibaj. He was there till he was 13 years old. He had his bar mitzvah there. And then Mazel Tov, Rabbi Nachman, you're a 13-year-old boy. You're a big boy now. Now it's time for marriage. Now it's time to get married in 1785. Hey, let me make some annotations here. At 1785, he goes to get married in Medadevka. Now, the supposed Rebbe Yitzchak Bender, who was one of the biggest mashpim of Breslov of, I guess, the previous generation, sixth generation of Breslov, who lived in Yerushalayim, basically is the father of the shul in Mei Sharim, called it Medufka. So we'll call it Medufka just to make it easier. I think it's Medadevka, but if he called it Medufka, it's Medufka. He lived in Uman, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Bender. Well, maybe at the end we'll talk a little bit more about the Mesorah Breslov after Rabbi Nachman, after Rabbi Nassan. There's also a beautiful Mesorah. It doesn't end there. There's a beautiful, beautiful Mesorah till today of Breslov. In 1785, he gets married to his first wife, Sasha. We don't know so much about her, but he gets married to her. She's going to die in 1807, so she dies in his lifetime. So we'll get back to that. In 1785, he gets married at his wedding, right after the chuppah. Instead of being with his wife, whatever that this means, he finds his first Talmud, Rabbi Shimele, Rabbi Shimon. We're going to get to all the Talmudim, but his first Talmud when he was 13 years old, Rabbi Shimon, who says that I left a lot of Admorim, older Admorim, and I've come to this tzaddik. And Rabbi Shimon was obviously much older than Rabbi Nachman at the time. And he has his first Talmud. And Rabbi Nachman's living in Usatin. He goes back from Medufka to Usatin. We're going to get to a map to show the places. Again, I just want to show the klal, and then we'll get to the prop. But he stays pretty quiet. You could say there are two periods of Rabbi Nachman's life. Pre-Eretz Yisrael, post-Eretz Yisrael. 1799, Lag BaOmer, he leaves Medufka to go to Eretz Yisrael. Now, obviously, he's Rabbi Nachman, so he can't just go straight to Eretz Yisrael, because Rabbi Nachman doesn't do anything straight. We're going to Eretz Yisrael, go straight to Eretz Yisrael. No, he makes a whole sivuv around basically all of the Ukraine, the modern-day Ukraine. And eventually, in 1799, he's going to reach Eretz Yisrael right before Rosh Hashanah. He spends his first Rosh Hashanah in Haifa in the cave of Eliyahu. Till today, we have the cave of Eliyahu. And it's probably there. Again, I'm not going to go into this. By the way, each one of these years, we could spend 15 shears on. I don't want to keep anybody that long or anything like that. So I'm doing it very bichlal. But it's in the cave of Eliyahu Navi in 1799 that Rabbi Nachman says that I have the Chiddush of Rosh Hashanah. I inherited something that my parents, that I didn't get from the Avos. I inherited the gift of Rosh Hashanah. That was in Eretz Yisrael. Believe it or not, that was in Eretz Yisrael in Haifa. He loved Haifa for some reason. You can ask Rav Gerzi has his own sheet as why he loved Haifa, because never mind, we're not going to get into it. And basically, finally, he was taken to Tveria to be with daven by the kever of Rabbi Nachman Hordaika, he's named after Rabbi Nachman Hordaika. That was Simcha, his father's father. And all these years in Europe, when he was Medufka, he used to daven by a kever of a tzaddik who was there, and he used to be a shaliach here. You daven by the Baal Shem Tov for me. You daven Rabbi Nachman Hordaika for me. I mean, he would send the dead person, I forgot which tzaddik this was, says, you daven in Tveria for me. You daven in Medjibach for me. And Medufka is very far from Medjibach. We're going to see that very soon. He goes to Eretz Yisrael. We'll talk about Eretz Yisrael soon. I just want to get the klal. He comes back from Eretz Yisrael. He's a different person. He comes basically to Zlatopoli. He comes to Zlatopoli, and that's when his Hasidim start coming to him. That's when he starts getting Talmidim, and the Hasidus, like we know it today, it starts in Zlatopoli. He runs into problems with the Shpulo Zeidi. Again, not for now, we're in the klal part. There's problems with the Shpulo Zeidi. He realizes that Rabbi Nachman himself realizes, whoa, I am different. I am not your classic Hasidish Rebbe. I don't really belong here. I got to find a place for himself. He speaks to his uncle, Rabbi Baruch Mezhebuj, who's living in Tulchin at that point, which is very close to Breslov. And he says, go to this place, Breslov. So he goes to Breslov, 1802. He comes to Breslov. The Breslov, as we know today, where Rabbi Nosson's buried. Those who are on the trip, we're Zocha to be there. Zocha to have a Malava Malka and spend the night there and a Shachris there. Ah, it was so, so beautiful. Great, beautiful, beautiful memories. And I'm living them now. 1802, he's in Breslov till 1810. 1810, he goes to Uman. We'll talk about why he goes to Uman. And basically gets to Uman on, anybody know the date of that he gets to Uman on? He gets to Uman on Hey Iyar. Hey Iyar, believe it or not, the day of Yom Ha'atzmaut. It's interesting because Shneur Zalman of Liadi says Hey Iyar is a very special day because that's the day we have to start learning for Matan Torah, for Shavuos, 30 days before the Chag. And he spends how many days in Uman? 160 days, Gematria 8. The whole Torah he spent from Purim to Hey Iyar is 50 days, that's Nun. And then from Purim to Chai Tishrei, which when he dies, we have 8 days, which is 160. So Nun 8, you could put them together. He's King Amalek. We're not going to get into that remez right now. Hi, Mom. We're not going to get into that remez right now. He dies in Uman, 1810, on Chai Tishrei. Okay, now we got the klal. Basically, again, we could separate his life into two parts. Pre-Eretz Yisrael, which we don't hear so much of him, and he's not the big leader, and he's not the big, I'm the chiddush of the world. And then after Eretz Yisrael, where he's a new person, and he writes that my Torah is totally different when it came back from Eretz Yisrael. Now we're going to go into the prat. Okay, so we're going to go a little bit more into the prat. So the first thing we're going to do is going to go through his family. Now, on one hand, Rabbi Nachman is not your typical family, you know, dad, Mother's Day type of guy. You know, and I'm sure he wasn't bringing Sasha flowers on Mother's Day and saying Happy Mother's Day. I don't think he was sitting there playing football with his sons. I think it's a good idea to play football with your son and everything like that, but I don't think Rabbi Nachman was doing that. We don't even find him so much relation with his family so much, but they meant everything to him. This is the Geshet Tzar Mo'od that we talked about last week. On one hand, we don't really see his family come up, and he's not like, you know, the family man and the family dad. And it. But on the other hand, all of his Torahs and all Sipurim Maisos are based on his children. So let's talk about his four daughters first, and then we'll get to the other kids. Everybody good? Everybody ready? Okay, let's go to his four daughters. We have Rabbi Nachman marries Sasha in 1785. They have four daughters. It's Osios Esmach. You have Adol, Sarah, Miriam, Chaya. Adol, named after his grandmother, the daughter of the Baal Shem Tov. Adol lives the longest. Adol stays with him till the end. Adol is the one that basically goes with him in Breslov. The Adol is the one that told him, I don't want you to go to Uman. He didn't listen to her. He goes to Uman. Adol is at his Levaya. And Adol basically lives till 1787. She's buried in Breslov. So you could give Yisrael Meir Gabay some work to do to find Adol's kever. It must be somewhere about Rabbi next to Rabbi Nassim. We know that Rabbi Nassim was buried at the very beginning of the kever because he said, any body that passes me, they'll have the algim schuyos in Shemayim. So Adol is buried somewhere there. The last words on the lips of Adol when she passed away was Baruch haba Abba. Baruch, I know I'm going to my father right now. So that's Adol. Then we have Sarah. Sarah was married to Yitzchak Isaac. We also find Sarah writes letters to his Sarah that I love speaking to Sarah. Very, very warm letters that you don't expect from Rabbi Nachman. Very warm letters to Sarah. Then we have Miriam. Miriam's interesting. She, at his marriage, she marries the son of the tzaddik of Velechik, which we'll see soon where Velechik is. And Rabbi Nachman wanted to dance with her very much. Her father-in-law did not let her dance, have the mitzvah dance with her. And in the end, Rabbi Nachman says, you're not going to have children. And so it was. She never had children. Very, very sad story. And she moves to Eretz Yisrael, and she's actually buried in Tzfat, right next to Rabbi Shimon, the first Talmud of Rabbi Nachman. So you could go to her kever. I can't go, I'm a Kohen, but supposedly right next to the Arizal, Miriam is buried in Tzfat. And then we have Chaya. Chaya lives in Kremenchuk. We'll talk about Kremenchuk very soon. These are the four main daughters of Rabbi Nachman named that are Rosh Tevos Esmach. Then we have a daughter, Fega. We don't really know anything about her. Shlomo Ephraim. I'm going to talk about Shlomo Ephraim very soon. And then we have Yaakov. Yaakov is born very, very late in the game, and he also dies very quickly. We don't know much about Yaakov. I'll tell one funny story about I don't know if it's a funny story about Rabbi Yaakov, just to give a full picture of Rabbi Nachman, even though it's impossible to give a full picture of who Rabbi Nachman was. Rabbi Nachman at the bris of Yaakov, everybody was sitting around waiting to hear Torah, and Rabbi Nachman looks at them and he says, what are you all doing here? I hate you guys. Go away. just to throw a little monkey wrench who Rabbi Nachman was, that's what he told them. I hate you guys. And he's sonei otchem. I hate you guys. My wife said not to say anything bad about Rabbi Nachman. I don't believe that this is bad, but this is written in Avnei Barzel, which is a main breast of a sefer. Let's go back to, I'm going to go back to Shlomo Ephraim. Shlomo Ephraim seems to be his son that he's putting all his chips on. Shlomo Ephraim, let's see Shlomo Ephraim. Shlomo Ephraim he's born in Breslov. Hold on one second. Shlomo Ephraim is born in Breslov. And let's learn a little bit. Rabbi Nachman always talked about his children, that from my tzetzav will come the Mashiach. So let's see a little bit about Shlomo Ephraim. I'm going to skip to here, the second line. I'll annotate this. Hold on. Okay. V'yaz amad lefanu morenu harav, Rabbi Nassim zechet tzadik levracha, aliyah v'sher, l'adonin morenu rabbeinu zechon levracha al-beiso, v'adonin morenu rabbeinu zechet tzadik levracha, siper imam migolda tzar v'yisurim shel agdolim sheishim mikaltza. He's telling you the great, the tzar and the yisurim that he has for his son, and the tzar that he always has, v'toch dvar v'onav v'omar, ma'atem yodim ma'agodov v'atzum ha-shever, do you know how great the shever is, it's break. You know how broken I am, Shabbalim, Indian is Talkasil. Do you know what it means to lose this child? He started tearing, and the tears went down his cheek. He ran away from them because he was so embarrassed. So he clearly is very, very emotional about his son. In a different place, he says, because this son was supposed to be the Mashiach. And in a different place, we see that he says about Shlomo Ephraim, that all I wanted from my son was that he should take a talis and tefillin to shul. That's all I wanted to see my son. My son never reached bar mitzvah. You could see that Rabbi Nachman, on one hand, he's calling him Mashiach. On the other hand, he has very low expectations. He's not a pushy father. All I want to see my son is to bring his talis and tefillin to shul. To this day, Breslov has a minhag, by the way. I don't know who keeps this minhag in Breslov, but Breslov does have a minhag that you take your talis and tefillin in shul, because Rabbi Nachman said, all I want to see is my son taking his talis and tefillin in shul. Now let's go to the bottom here. Ubayom zeh. And on this day, talking about the Torahs were very important to the history. He started giving the Torah of Samechei in Mekutei Maharan. What is that talking about? Hamedave me'inyin tikkun haneshamos. We start talking about the fixing of neshamos. Over and above Yisurin Harbe B'lishur Rachman Tzani. Start thinking about the Balasodeh, the person who takes care of the field, i.e. the person who takes care of the Neshama. And Rabbi, and the person who takes care of the Neshama goes through great, great Yisurin because he's always in touch with the dead people. And that's Rabbi Nachman. Rabbi Nachman is the Balasodeh and he's the one that's going to be placing the different Neshamas and doing Tikkun on Neshamas. V'begodol kocho over al kulun v'osa pulas asodeh k'mo shetzorech. And that's what he was saying, I'm in so much pain. He wasn't in so much pain because we think, oh my God, he lost his son. Obviously he had some pain from that. But the pain that he has is now that I'm connected to the dead people and now I am the Baal HaSadeh and now I am the Tikkun HaNeshamos. If anybody knows the ABCs of being a Bresh of Rechassid, that you believe that Rabbi Nachman will give the Tikkun HaNeshamos. That you will not come back. You be a wrestler chassid and do what Rabbi Nachman says. Your neshama will not come into many, many gilgulim because you're connected to the Baal HaSadeh. People are uncomfortable with that, but that's the ABCs of Breslov. You can't believe in Breslov without believing in that idea. You could not believe in it, but that's your Bechira. But the ABCs of Breslov is to believe that there's a Baal HaSadeh that's taking care of you and he's taking care of the tikkun and any neshamas. That he's taking care of the tikkun and neshamas, and that is after Shlomo Ephraim dies. This is a big moment in the life of Rabbi Nachman. He starts talking about the tikkun and neshamas, and in the end, in Uman, we'll see that that's where he steps up in Uman to take care of fixing all the neshamas. Hold on. So that's Shlomo Ephraim. Let's just go back to Shlomo Ephraim. One more in Lukut in Chaim Oran. Hold on. After the yellow died, Kishabonu love as Hitchil the Dabar Imanim Indian Tikkun Hashamos Minyan Balasada She Sada Shabdelim Bon Hashamos. He starts talking about a Sada that there is Neshamos. It's Tikkun Balasada Letaknam. Vezeshachoger Masal Lius Balasada Yeshav Yisurim Harbe. And the person who fixes them goes through great, great pains. I'm just going to skip a little bit. Ubeprat Achashabam Lemberg. Beprapik Nisos of the Uman Shikok Nisos of the Sham. This whole thing about coming to Uman was to fix the neshamas of the martyrs who died in 1768. Umas shabachal listalik sham lishkam sham akoya machma zeh b'shvil tikkun haneshamas. So tzichin tikkun mekama meot shonim. Kisham b'Uman neregun afashos haravos. Many people died there b'lishir v'kama yilodim alofim haravavos. Okay, we know it was 20,000. There's something obviously that we don't know about Uman here because we talked about it somewhere else, and this is what he talks about Uman. When we get to Uman, we'll talk about that a little bit more. Now let's go to. So these are the children of Rabbi Nachman. Again, the children take. If a person really understands how to learn the Torah of Rabbi Nachman, he could start seeing which children he's talking about in the Torahs. And if you understand Sipur Maisos, I don't, but I'm in touch with people who do know this, that in the Sipur Maisos, I could say, oh, he's talking about Adol now. He's talking about Miriam right now. So this is his family. Moving on to just, we're going to get some places now, just where things were. So he was born in Medjibuj. Everybody, okay, he's born in Medjibuj, 1772, says here's to 1785. Then he goes all the way to Medufka. Medufka is on the eastern Ukraine, and he hangs out in Medufka in Usatin. Usatin is right there. Kremenchuk, that's another major Breslov place. That's actually where his kisei, his chair, sits for many, 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 many years until they bring it over to Eretz Yisrael. Totally different story that we're not going to get into. He goes to Eretz Yisrael on a very, very roundabout route. Here's Zlatopoli when he comes back from Eretz Yisrael. Zlatopoli. From Zlatopoli, he feels uncomfortable there, basically kicked out from the Shpola Zedi, and he goes through to Breslov, but he passes where? Uman. He passes Uman, and he says, this is the place. I feel the Neshama is calling me. I'm going to come back to this place. And his Talmidim were like, oh, what is he talking about? And he went on to Breslov. This is where 1802 to 1810, this is the main time of Rabbi Nachman. And that's what we're going to get to very soon. Just to know, you have Tulchin. Tulchin is a major Breslov place right next to Breslov. And this is where Rabbi Nachman of Tulchin is, who's the main Talmud of Rabbi Nassan. So much more to talk about Rabbi Nachman of Tulchin, which is the third generation Breslov. He has a son, Rav Avram, by Rabbi Nachman, who's the fourth generation of Breslov. And Rabbi Nachman said the fourth generation of Breslov have to go to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, different story right now. We have Teplik, which is a major place of Breslov. Ishtapchus HaNefesh, Meshivas HaNefesh is written by the Maggid of Teplik over here. Ladizin, also a big Breslov place. Heisen, also a Breslov place. Nemerov, much less of a Breslov place, but that's where Rinosan Breslov is from, only 9 miles from Breslov. And we have Dashiv, which a lot of the Talmidim of Rabbi Nachman come from Dashiv. Okay, and Tamashpil, which the haters of Rabbi Nassim live. The Rebbe of Tamashpil, totally different story right now. We're not going to get into Tamashpil. We also have Lemberg. We have Kamenetz, different places that Rabbi Nachman went to. We're not going to get into all of the hidden movements of Rabbi Nachman. It's enough to be dealing with what we're dealing with now, to get into the hidden, why did he go to Lemberg, and why did he go to Navarich, and why did he go to Kamenetz? Sodas, but we're not going to get into that right now. Here's, by the way, Volochik is right near Medjibaj. If you see Medjibaj, you go to the west. You have Volochik, that's where the Tzadik Volochisk is. So that's basically the map. Let's move down right now to his Talmidim. Now, let's go through the Talmidim. Before we get really to the Talmidim, he had a lot of Hasidim, but there are only 6 people that he felt that were his mamish Talmidim. He used to say, "Hayiti rotze es menorah shali. I want my menorah." And Lekute Maharan, Moharan, is Osios menorah. He says, "I want my menorah." And of course, Rabbi Nachman's in the middle. That's a midah of Netzach. Rabbi Nachman's in the middle. He has 6 main Talmidim. The 6 main Talmidim are, okay, I'm going to start over here, 1 second. Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon comes in. And by the way, each one represented a different avodah for him. And therefore, a real Talmud of Rabbi Nachman knows that when Rabbi Nachman is giving a Lekute Maran, he's speaking to Rabbi Yudel now. He's speaking to Rabbi Shimon. It's not that he's only speaking to him. It's he's drawing the Torah out of them. For example, I could probably do this Zoom without anybody here, but because you guys are here, you're drawing Torah and ideas out of me. The Tzibur draws Torah. So Rabbi Nachman needed those people around him to draw the Torah out of him. Even though he doesn't talk about the Talmidim a lot, and you don't see their names a lot, they're totally drawing the Torah out of him. So you have Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon's the first Talmud, and he goes to Eretz Yisrael. He's buried in Sfat. He actually came back to Rabbi Nassan, and he meets Rabbi Nassan. He says, "Wow, I thought you were the Talmud of Rabbi Nachman, but I see you are Rabbi Nachman." That's how much Rabbi Shimon gave respect to Rabbi Nassan. Rabbi Yudel is the next one. Rabbi Yudel was from Dashav. Rabbi Shmuel Isaac. There was a little break off with Rabbi Nassan, but we're not going to get into. We have Rabbi Shmuel Isaac. All of these people are coming in Zlatipol. The second part of the menorah are the Talmidim that start coming in 1802 to Breslov. We have Rabbi Aaron, who is the Rav of Breslov, who makes the big, we'll call it mistake, of not spending the last Rosh Hashanah with Rabbi Nachman. That's Rabbi Aaron of Breslov. Rav Naftali and Rabbi Nassan come together. There's a Rav from Nemerov, Rav Lipa, who brought Rabbi Naftali, Rabbi Naftali and Rabbi Nassan to Rabbi Nachman. And obviously we know Rabbi Nassan becomes into the prize Talmud. Not that the other people are irrelevant at all. Rabbi Nassan becomes the prize Talmud. And I'll just read a little bit. I could read this forever. And these words are the most beautiful, beautiful words. I'm going to stop the share for a minute. I want to see you guys. The most beautiful words from the Veit Tzadikim. The moment Rabbi Nassan comes to Breslov to meet Rabbi Nachman. So Rabbi Lipa brings them. Hold on, we're getting into it. And Rabbi Nassan looks at him. Rabbi Nassan nichnas lebeis ha'admor. He puts out his hand to say shalom. Most historical handshake, at least in my life. And he meets the Admor. He's very, very, I recognize this person. Admor Posech Piv, Rabbi Nachman answers him and says, we know each other, Mikfar Ayomim, from early days, but we didn't see each other for a long time. And Rabbi Nosson at that point remembers, I had a dream in Berdichev. Rabbi Nosson was always looking for a Rebbe. Even Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Berdichev wasn't enough for him. That's a story within itself. He had a dream that he was going up a ladder and someone said, and he kept on falling off the ladder. And someone said to him, hold tighter. The regular story is from this dream, and he looked at Rabbi Nachman again. He goes, this was the person in the dream. This is Rabbi Nachman who said, hold tight, Rabbi Nachman. And for the rest of Rabbi Nachman's life, if anybody read Through Fire and Water by Chaim Menachem Kramer, Shabbat Rafua Shlema, you understand how much Rabbi Nachman had to hold on. I could go on. This is unbelievable. And he talks about watching the Rebbe say, Yeshus Chayo. Every word here is unbelievable. I don't have time to go over it. And Rabbi Nachman turns to Rabbi Nosson and says, there are three types of Hasidim. One of them, they came to hear the Torah in my Chidushim. Another of them, they came to Lachtov Shiraim, some kugel. But there's a third one that is baked in my heart. Rabbi Nosson, you're one of those that are baked in my heart. The three levels of Talmidim, Rabbi Nosson is baked in Rabbi Nachman's heart. And Rabbi Nosson goes on to say that he watched the Admor, Rabbi Nachman, sing Shalom Aleichem, Ribbon Olam, and Eishes Chayil. And Rabbi Nosson, Margish Kam, Tam Olam Haba, Kol Keta Yotzim Pi Admor, Polech, Vekores Sagur Levavo, Tam Kitov Sochra, Margish Rabbi Nosson, Taima, Matuk, Mitvash Al Admor. Okay, again, Lo Yichba Balei Lenei, Rabbi Nosson says, Afilu Bechoshech, even in the darkest times, Rabbi Nachman will light up the way. Kappa Parsali Ani, he goes to an Ani Bidas. Rabbi Nachman goes to an Ani Bidas. Kappa Parsali Ani, I'm the Ani, and he's coming out to me. And then the Rebbe saying, Azam Bishvachin, and Rabbi Naftali, and Rabbi Nassim were going crazy. By the way, Rabbi Naftali, he's the one who lived the latest out of all the Talmidim. Rabbi Naftali, Rabbi Nachman said, you stay in Uman. And you give Shal Shud, close yourself in the room and give Shal Shud for the rest of your life. He goes, to myself? Like, how can I give Torah to myself? He goes, no. There's a lot of dead people listening to you. He says, so I'm giving Shal Shud to the dead people. So I joke in yeshiva. So sometimes I feel like Rav Naftali giving Shal Shud to the dead people when everyone's like kind of putting their head down and going to sleep. So that was Rav Naftali lived, and he really was the holder of Uman. But listen to this. This is again, I could go on and on, and this is just unbelievable. This meeting, Rabbi Nosson and Rabbi Nachman. After the Friday night meal, Rabbi Nosson runs out. Who yotze the sada esher b'yichasei ha'ir? He goes to the sada on the edge of the city. Those who are in Breslov, just imagine, on the cliff there, and he screams out, "Ribono shel olam, Breslov bo'er shaber esayish b'levavi. Breslov is on fire. Bring this fire in my heart." Until Hoyer Shachar, Rabbi Nosson was screaming, "Bresel boy, Eish, Shaveros Ablimi, Shaveros Ablavavi, Sham, Marnat, Lemosha, Bomashevis," and Rabbi Marnat realized, this is my place. I'm staying with the Nacham Avim, Kor Chachma. I'm staying with Rabbi Nachman. And that's Rabbi Nosson. We could talk on forever, Rabbi Nosson, but let's get back to the movements of Rabbi Nachman. I wish I could speak about forever this meeting between Rabbi Nachman and Rabbi Nosson. It's so sweet and so beautiful. I'm going to go back to the screen. So these are the six Talmidim. Hold on. We're going to go back here. The Siyat Eretz Yisrael, just very quickly. The Nesia to Eretz Yisrael. Why does Rabbi Nachman go to Eretz Yisrael? Because it's Eretz HaKodesh. So let's learn a little bit why he goes to Eretz Yisrael. I'm not going to be this whole Chaim Oran. that basically before he goes leaves from Medufka on Lag BaOmer, b'yemechag haPesach shamu shurotzu l'sol eretzol k'day l'kayim sham kol tarig mitzvos l'chol yachad. I want to keep all the tarig mitzvos. Now, obviously, how are you going to keep all tarig mitzvos? There's no Beis Hamikdash, so we don't know exactly what he was talking about. There are many different secrets and idea of why he wanted to go, and I'm just going to go down to the bottom. He wanted chachma ilah. He has chachma ilah v'tata v'chachma tata kfar yeshlo. He had chachma tata, but he went to Eretz Yisrael to get chachma ilah and to walk arba amos in Eretz Yisrael. Take if zachal lasi kach muvakshu v'cheftzu v'neshoshanasu b'shvil Eretz Yisrael v'gam shemati b'bekodesh means that godel asimcha v'nachishu take if shabal Eretz Yisrael and smile about him chukazo. Right when he gets to Haifa, he feels this joy that I've makayim everything I needed to fix, even before he gets to Tveria and Sfat and Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Nachman Hordaika. So that's a little taste of Eretz Yisrael. Again, we could speak probably 15 sessions about what he was doing in Eretz Yisrael. Zlatopoli, we're not going to go into the machlokas with him and the Shpulah Zaydi. Now we get to Breslov. 1802 to 1810, this is when it all happens. This is the Rabbi Nachman that everybody knows, that we're all connecting to. We have in 1805, Rabbi Nachman writes Sipurei Maisius. And he says in Chaim Aran Kufnun Aleph, Va'az bosa ashana hitchil lesaper sipur maisius, and the pasuk ata va'omer ata hitchil lesaper maisius. Now I'm starting to give maisius. And he says in Samech, in the Kutei Maran, finish with the Torah. Nobody's listening to that anymore. People have to hear the stories. And it's not just like, oh, I have to be a great storyteller because I want to be like some maggid or something like that. It was much deeper than that. Va'az amar rosh hashana shachem miyad shu rosh hashana, Torah pasuk Rabbi Shimon Simon Samech, where he starts talking about the stories. And Sichas Ara Nun Bet, Mikol Advarim Tzori Kavod Hashem Yisbarach. And this is the Yisod of Sipur Maisius. Everything in the world screams the Kavod of Hashem Yisbarach. Ki Melo Cholaretz Kavod Hashem is found everywhere. Vafilu Misipur Agoyim, even from the Sipur Agoyim. And a lot of his stories are traced back actually to legends also in the Goyish world, like Abedis Bas Melech. Many, many different people had that legend of the story. So it gam king covered Hashem Yisbarach. Moshe Kosu sapru b'agoyim is kvodo. Shafilu b'sipur agoyim tzor kvod Hashem Yisbarach. Ki kvodo Yisbarach tzor it pamid v'kor meramez la'odim shikarva. Every story that's in this world is calling HaKadosh, is calling man back to Hashem Yisbarach. Who Yisbarach yikar b'osu racham b'ava b'chir gdola. Again, we could speak so much about Sipur Maisius. I want to quote from, I want to bring a quote from Hillel Zeitlin. Hillel Zeitlin is a fascinating person. Born in the late 1800s, he was born into a Chabad family. He turned into a philosopher. He had great respect for the Reform movement. He became totally not religious. Yosef Brenner was like one of his idols. You know, Yosef Brenner went from the Reform movement in Eretz Yisrael. Became total maskil. Eventually, did tshuva much later in his life. Came to Breslov. Still wrote about Chabad, but came very close to Rabbi Nachman. He opened his eyes in Berdichev when he saw the Breslov Shtibel in Berdichev. Rav Weinberger tells a story. I believe Rav Weinberger said the story a few years back when he was in the tzion of Rabbi Nachman. It's a beautiful, beautiful story. When I heard that story, that's when I really wanted to get close to Breslov. At that moment, I said, I have to find out what's going on here. When I heard Rav Hillel Zeitlin, when Rav Moshe Weinberger was talking about what Rav Hillel Zeitlin wrote about the Berdichever Shtibel, the Breslover Shtibel in Berdichev. Beautiful, not for now. I wish I could talk now. But listen to this, what Hillel Zeitlin says. And you have to understand, he's a beautiful, beautiful writer. Listen to this. Every word is Kaddush. Kol Sipur Shel Rabbi Nachman. And he died, by the way, in 1942. He was killed by the Nazis. Supposedly, he was killed with the Zohar in his hands. Kol Sipur Shel Rabbi Nachman. Hey, mitzad echad Sipur ha'avaya kula. It's about all of the Havaya, all of the existence. U'mitzad ech acher, gam Sipur chayatzma. But on the other hand, it's a story about his own personal life. If you follow Sipur Maitzvus carefully, you see Rabbi Nachman's own life in the stories. I'm not going to go over the Sipurim, but clearly Rabbi Nachman is talking about himself. Lo sipur achayim achitzonim shelo. No, not like, oh, and when I was 8 years old, I got this, my first tooth fell out. And this happened. It wasn't about his little life. Like Josh, we talked about the question about how can he talk about it, ani narma, ani ishpel, and all that. It, nothing was about his outside life. And it's not even about his spiritual journal, about, you know, his what he felt and what. His intimate life, the chayim that was connected to the atzilus, the olam atzilus, his own personal life, which was beyond borders of any individual life. I feel like I'm meeting Rav Kook now. I'm sure Hillel Zeitlin was very much influenced by Rav Kook's writing. How this neshama, this high neshama, the ear of the kodesh mitzumai enoches, just talking about Rabbi Shimon, but it's the same thing for Rabbi Nachman, comes down to this world and is metakin tikkunim, allows the neshamas, the fools, to bring the neshamas that fell. Lil chomes milchomos asher laHashem l'savos tzaderech alagula achrona hagemur v'amuchletet. Ah. I wish I could spend years on this, as I wish I could spend years on Rabbi Nassim. It's about this high neshama coming into this world and fixing the neshamas and living a life that's not a life of its own, but a life that's a mamish part of the neshamas haklalis. So this is Sipurim Maisos that come in 1805. It was extremely, extremely controversial. The Apta Rav refused to have a Sipur Maisus in Medjibaj, anti-Sipur Maisus. Many tzaddikim who followed Rabbi Nachman, they couldn't handle the Sipur Maisus. So that was Sipur Maisus in what else happened in Breslov? In Breslov, in 1807, Likutei Maharan is the first printing of Likutei Maharan, of the first Chelek Likutei Maharan is written and binded in, no, it was always being written. Rabbi Nachman was always writing. He would take stacks and stacks of papers on all of his journey, stacks and stacks of papers. He was always writing, but very few writings made it. Most of the writings were burnt, lost. We're not going to be talking about those writings right now. Why the first thing after he died, I forgot which Talmud it was. It was Rabbi Yudel, who went and had and burnt all of the writings of Rabbi Nachman. Likutei Maharan made it. And this is a big thing for Rabbi Nachman that they're publishing Likutei Maharan. I'll just say that they went to Lemberg, which is a big city of that time. This is Chaim Maharan Kuf Pei Dalet. The Yosef Lemberg Masar Asef Likutei Maharan Liad Ish Echad Shabai Lab Memedufka. Mitzava La Ish Hazesh Yisalim the same Latpis Asef Vchein Asa. Chila Chakar Bedaiter. He thought, you know, my Torah Harbe Binyan Zeki Vishonim Akodim Manu Nisharim Lalim Last Year. I hid my Torah from the world. I didn't want my Torah is way too high to be put in a book. Achachar Kach Tziva Alei LaHatikam Kiseder Einu Ki B'Tchila Yiksuv Metzli HaTorah B'Kuntrasim Mufuzar Mulek Shlo Kiseder. First, it was just writings by Rabbi Nachman. Achachar Kach B'Shnas Taf Kuf Samechei, which is 1805 to 1807. He said, "Let's bind it." V'Hizi Oti Lizdarez Bazeh. Hashem, he told Rabbi Nassim to be very careful with it. And he said, don't let anybody touch it. Looking at the bottom now, he said, guard it very well. That nobody else should touch it. So that's the first krach of Likutei Maharan, the sefer that's going to bring us closer to Gula like the Zohar. And I'll read from Chaim Maharan, B'sha shekarchu ha-sefer Likutei Maharan, ha-rishon be'esh ayuk ha-kutchusim k'viksav lachem nidmul shezeh davar pashut. All of the olamos are tsluyim in the writing and the binding of Likutei Maharan. Tzuchin la'achiv adibur zeh kol mashav rosa ha'esiv v'mirtza Hashem yizbor v'makom achiv bezos Hashem. So the publishing of Likutei Maharan in 1805 to 1807 is this monumental move, not only for Binachman's personal life. I would never talk about his personal life. Self-satisfaction was out of the dictionary of Rabbi Nachman. It was all about fixing the world. There's something that Likutei Maharan is bringing the fixing of the world. And now we come to the Akdama of Likutei Maharan, which is very much apropos to Lag BaOmer. I can't go through the whole thing, but basically he's comparing his Likutei Maharan to the Sefer HaZohar. But up till now we had the Sefer HaZohar, and now we go into the Likutei Maharan. I'll just read one thing, just because it's Lag BaOmer. Rabbi Nachman adds one thing that's not in the Gemara here. I saw this from, I think it's Rabbi Sobran, one of the Mashpirim Bresel of our days. Rabbi Dinstock holds very, very much by Rabbi Brenner. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai hiftiach shelo tishtokach Torah Yisrael al yodo. Al yodo. You see, it's bold and underlined al yodo. It doesn't say that in the Gemara. Look in the Gemara. It doesn't say al yodo. Rabbi Nachman put that al yodo through the tzaddik itself. Not just because he wrote a book. Again, it's not about writing a book. It's not about the content of the Zohar. It's that the fact that Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai put himself in the Zohar. And al yodo, Torah will not be forgotten. And later on it says, basically, we'll get to this next time, this idea of al yodo. I'm jumping the gun now. We'll get to this in our last thing. 1809, Tikkun HaKlali. Tikkun HaKlali is written down, and when you give a pruta letzdaka and you come to his kever. Shamati Rabbi Rabbeinu Naftali zechon lebracha Shua yachad mishnei edim. We're going to skip that. Va'amaz Rabbi Rabbeinu lebracha b'zua lashon k'shiyav al kivri. When you come to my kever and you give a pruta letzdaka ba'avuri. V'yomu elu asar kapitel tilim. And you say these kapitel darshom be'etzlo b'shvil tikkun lemikra laila rachman tzlan. As yaniach Rabbeinu atzmo la'orichu lebrochav. Rabbeinu himself will go through the ends of the world. Bevada yushil is that, and for sure you'll say this person. Rama shapeus yotzias. There's a famous peus that will take us out from the peus. Afilu im ye'osu adu eshi afilu mashavar. Rach ma'ati kabal asu shal yishav la'vlota chasu shalom. And it says in the end of his life, of Laila Shkod Misalkusa Omar, Malachem Ledog, Me'achashani Olech Lefnechem. There's so much to talk about. Rabbi Naftali actually had a dream one time after Rabbi Nassim passed away. And he said that he had a dream that he saw Rabbi Nassim running. And he asked Rabbi Nassim, where are you running? And Rabbi Nassim said, Ani Ratz Yashar Rabbeinu, I'm going straight to Rabbeinu. Rabbi Nachman was connecting life and death. When you enter the world of Rabbi Nachman, being alive and being dead, there's not so many borders. When you're away from Rabbi Nachman, alive and death is worlds apart. What do we have to do with a dead person? They're ghosts and this. When you get into the world of Nachman, Rabbi Nachman, you get into the world of Tikkun HaNeshamos. The idea of life and death become very, and this happens after his son, Shlomo Ephraim, dies because he's closer to death now. He's closer to the dead. His own son is a Neshama now in Shemayim. And that has to do with Mikra Laila, with the Neshamas going around the world that he's trying to mitaken. Again, I wish I had time to get into this now, but we're not. And that the Tikkun HaKlali is connected to both the dead neshamas and also the neshamas that are not filled in this world without a guf. So that's a Tikkun HaKlali in 1809. In the Kutim Aran Reshei, it talks about the 10. V'yesh koch b'chol loshav loshav shal asor l'shon slavet olavat kol ha'klipa. And as Rabbi Nachman says in a different place, kol ha'dvarim, I'm chazak with everything I say, but with this, I'm very chazak. Take it seriously. I'm very chazak with this. We'll go back now. So 1802 and 1810 is the main times of Rabbi Nachman. We're reaching the last part. Sorry, I'm going very long, a long time on this one. We'll get to Umman. You know what? Chavra. Maybe we'll do Uman next time. Is that okay? Or we'll do Uman next time. But we see the introduction of Uman is going to be the Tikkun. It's all going to be about the Tikkun Neshamas. It's closing the gap between death and life, closing the gap between physical and spiritual, and that's going to be Uman. And the last part is, if anybody wants to hold on, the last part of the series again. Each part of these time periods could have been 15 shurim. The hardest thing of giving this over is a tzimtzum of it. But the last thing we're going to talk about is the gifts that Rabbi Nachman gave to the world. With Hillel Zeitlin in his last sefer, Be'ikvei, Doros HaTzadik, he gives 14 things, matanos, that Rabbi Nachman left to us and the world. And we'll read through those 14 matanos through the eyes of Hillel Zeitlin. And what are the matanos? As we know in the last story of the seven beggars, Rabbi Nachman gives presents. They all bring presents for the Sheva Brachos. Those are all the presents that Rabbi Nachman brought to the world, to us. And for our last time, now understanding, I wouldn't say all of the background of Rabbi Nachman, but a lot of the background of Rabbi Nachman, from the historical background, the Jewish history, to what was going on in his life. What are the gifts that Rabbi Nachman brought to this world? I want to thank you guys again for being part of this. I'll open up if anybody has any comments, questions. Okay, Hudi, your sister should have a Aliyah's neshama. Should be with, as we talked about, Adol saying, Baruch Abba Abba. So if we're saying there's no difference between life and death, Bezos Hashem, Rabbi Nachman is smiling with the shir. I hope I didn't say anything bad when I said it, when I said get out of here, because I hate all you guys. But Rabbi Nachman's with your sister right now, smiling and listening to the life and listening to the tikkun and neshamas, which should be misakin our neshamas.